We're going to talk about repentance. We're going to talk about our thought life. What's going on in our head? If you get the handouts, there's a little head of cabbage there because this one's all about not your heart, but your head. What are you thinking? How many times do we say, what was I thinking? That's a good question to ask ourselves. When we talk about repentance for those who are living for Christ, it's different. It's not that we're just going out and living a wicked, sinful life of adultery and murdering people. And, you know, we're trying to live for God. We're trying to do our best. We've already allowed him to bring us through a lot of repentance and our sin. But our problem is still in our emotions. Last week we talked about our heart, and it's in our thoughts. And actually what we feel is going to come from what we think. So the thoughts are even priority over your heart because they rule your emotions. What you think rules how you feel. It rules what you do. So our thought life is very, very important. So we're going to talk about repentance toward God in the area of our thought life. We know that all repentance toward God is coming in agreement with him, coming into his ways. So we want to come in agreement with what God is thinking, with what God is saying, not what we are thinking, not what we're feeling. Can you imagine the impact it would have on our life if we took all the promises of God personally, literally? The thoughts that he does bring to your mind, that others prophesied over you, that God spoke to you directly in your thought life. If you got a hold of those with such a powerful belief that they become what you live for, they become the whole foundation of the goals of your life and the purpose of your day, imagine what that would do to your life. If you would literally grab hold of it in that way. Well, that's what faith is supposed to do. It's supposed to become our personal truth and transform us. So we need to go through some repentance of different things. You know, I think one thing is our insecurity. And I think all of us are insecure in some areas of our life, just like all of us are proud in some areas of our life. It's like a schizophrenic flip side thing that goes on in our brain. You find something you're really good at and you get all puffed up at about it. I could do that. I'm really good at that. I know all about that. And then you run into something you can't do. Oh, I'm such a failure. I can't do this. And I think we just flip back and forth believing those thoughts. And that's what really is difficult, you know. And I think the pride is even more difficult because in pride, you know, we read the verse in James where God gives grace to the humble and he resists the proud. So when we're in pride, God is resisting us. But then insecurity is not humility either. Insecurity is also a lie. Where our faith needs to be is in whatever God says, whatever he is thinking, whatever he is doing. If we come in line with that, then there's going to be power. There's going to be ability to accomplish. Sometimes I think we're trying to do what he's not telling us to do, and then we can't do it. And why isn't God helping us? Because it's not what he wanted us to do. But when we're doing what he wants us to do and we get our thoughts in line with him and we depend on him, he enables us and it won't cause pride and it will wipe out insecurity too. It's just thinking right about it. So we don't need to live in that mixture of insecurity and pride, you know, devil bouncing us back and forth like a ping pong ball because it's all based on our own thoughts, what we think of ourselves. So how do we change? How do we change what we think about? How do we get this change in how we think? We have to trade some belief systems, some deceptions for truth, because it's truth that sets us free. So we need to repent of the way we think and ask God how he thinks and find his thoughts and come in agreement with him. That is how we repent. We need to, right now, this morning. I mean, I know already some of the things, when God even gives me what to bring, sometimes I have the thought, we've taught that so many times. We've read that verse so many times. We've taught that concept, you know, so many times. We already know this. And God says, well, I can't teach you anything then, can I? Because you already know. Well, we know, but we maybe don't know on a deeper level. Maybe we don't fully know and understand. Maybe we're not practicing what we know because it never left the heart, went through the heart, head, heart, spirit. When it gets in your spirit, it owns your life. So even right now, let's just pray this prayer together. God, I want to open my mind. I want to give up my opinions. I want to give up my doubts, my insecurities, and my pride. I want my mind wide open to you this morning. I want a revival in my thoughts. I want your thoughts to become my thoughts. Thank you, Jesus. So our part is to desire this repentance in our thought life and then invite God to do it. You know, it's just so awesome because he makes it so easy. And no, he makes it simple. He does not make it easy. It's not easy. It's simple. Want it. When you want it and then you invite God to do it. Now, it may not happen right this minute, but it will happen. I got up this morning with a rotten attitude. I woke up this morning. I drug out of that bed. We've been through the garage sale. We've been through weekend company with Jackie and Ray. I had to sit outside for 2 hours. I thought I'd die. And then, I said, Janaya, don't you guys want to have some fun? You know, like I was going to the house, play games or do something. And she said, we're having fun. I said, how could you be having fun just sitting around like that, you know, in a lawn chair? I didn't get it, so I went home. But I'm tired. And tomorrow my daughter-in-law is coming, Susan. She's a great seamstress. And a long time ago we bought this awesome piece of material that just screamed it was for me. She said, Mom, this is you. And I went, it is. We have to have it. So we got a pattern. She's going to make me a dress. I don't want it because I put on weight. And I'm like, can we make that like 6 months down the road when I'm the size I was when I wanted it? You know, I don't want it. I don't want her to make the dress. I don't even want her to come. I'm tired. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do Sunday, and I don't want to do Monday, and I don't want to do Tuesday, and I have a bad attitude, and now I'm supposed to bring a message on my thoughts. So I started praying, but God didn't say anything. And I'm like, oh, I am in so much trouble. What am I going to do? I'm just going to read through my message. I'll just read through my notes. So I start reading through it, and you know what? I start reading things like, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I let those verses start. I wasn't even trying. I'm just reading them. All of a sudden, I go, you know what? I'm getting excited about church. I'm even happy that Susan's coming. My thoughts are just changing, you know, because I invited him to change them. Remember back on page one, I had to read that prayer. I had to pray it. So all of a sudden, my thoughts started changing. And that's what will happen. You could sit here all morning long and be grumpy. Well, it's not going to work for me. I already know about this, and it won't work for me. But if you prayed it and you invited God, you just look for that surprise moment later when all of a sudden you go, you know what? I'm thinking a lot better than I was. Because he always takes an invitation. Yes. It's on him to do it. It's only right. On us to invite him and to sincerely want it. So we need another renewal, not only toward ourselves, get rid of the insecurity, the doubts, the fears, the beat yourself up, and all the pride. We need also to think different toward other people. And I know that we've worked on that, and still you look at somebody and go, I can't believe they do that, you know. Last night we're watching, you know, even judgmental in movie stars. You can say, well, they play that character, evil character, really well. I wouldn't want to play that character. But when you start knowing about their real life, it's easy to judge them. And we started to watch a movie last night, and I was thinking, well, I don't like that girl playing a nun because I know what she believes in her real life, and I don't like her at all, and I can't believe her. Pretty soon, Harvey said, you know, I don't really want to watch this because of that actress. And I went, me either, and we shut it off. And then I got thinking, you know, when we judge other people, we judge them based on what they're showing us. What they're showing us is the deception of their own mind. They're not showing us who they are because they were created in the image of God. They're showing us the life they're living based on what others have thought of them, on the belief systems they've accepted, on the abuses of life, their woundedness, their self-defensiveness, their pride. All these things that have infiltrated that little seedling spirit of who God made them to be, And we don't have a clue who they are. Most of the time, we don't have a clue who we are, much less who someone else is. But if we could just realize, God loves them. That's his child. You know, and I went through that thought again this past week of, what if that were my son? Everything I'm asking God to do with that person switches the minute I say it's my son or my daughter. What if that were my daughter behaving that way? What if it was my daughter off in that wrong belief system, living wickedly? I would be pleading with God for her to repent and come back to him. So how we think of other people needs to be based on how God thinks of them. You know, we have the mind of Christ. It's like if I gave you a computer and said, everything you ever need to know is at the touch of your fingertips. Type in your question and there's your answer. You need wisdom, type in your question. There's your wisdom. Anything you want to know, it's right there. We have the mind of Christ inside of us. Anything we need to know, it's right there. What does he think about this? Ask him. Well, I don't want to because I don't like this person. They've offended me or hurt my family. What does he think? Because he's more concerned with what you're thinking for your own good. So just ask him. We have this awesome mind living inside of us. We just need a mind renewal. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, for who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Who has known God's mind so he can instruct us? God, I don't know what to do. Ask him. You have his mind. And he said, once you know my mind, I can give you instructions for everything and anything. Well, sometimes I ask him what to do and he doesn't tell me. What do I do with that? Don't do anything. Don't do anything. Sometimes the answer is, he didn't want you to do anything. Do I give this or do I give that? No answer. Don't give anything. But sometimes it's because he's taught us so much already. You already know what he would do. You already know what he wants you to do. And he does expect us to mature and learn how to think in agreement with his mind according to all he's already taught us. So sometimes when you say, I can't find the presence of God, maybe he just sent you on a little faith walk to see how your brain is working on its own now that he's taught you so much. How's that brain working? Is it thinking like me yet? Let's find out. And you go out and you're kind and you forgive this person and you give to that one what they need and you do your work with a good attitude and you do, you read the word whether you get anything out of it or not. And you're doing the things he's trained you to do. And then all of a sudden you run into something and you have no clue. And you ask him for his wisdom and you find out what he's thinking and he tells you. Those other times he knows you already know what to do. So do you want children that have to run to you and say, Mom, you told me to clean my room, but where do I put this sock? Mom, where do I put this shirt? Mom, where do I put this other sock? Mom, where do I put my... You know where to put them. I helped you organize your drawers and you already know where everything goes. Just go do what I told you to do. Sometimes it's just walk out your training when we're not hearing from him. But what does the devil do? He wants to come and tell you in your thoughts, God's mad at you. God's fed up with you. God's not talking to you because of who you are and what you think and what you do. He knew who you are when he took you in. He's not disappointed in you.
Right.
He's watching your choices. And he's very forgiving and patient with you. You know, I have a question. Why is it so hard for us to believe the thoughts that God speaks into our mind? You know, if he were to come down here and say them out loud, maybe we'd believe him. Probably not. We'd go, well, I don't believe that's God. It's an illusion. No, but if God puts a thought in your mind, why is it so hard just to believe it? And yet, on the flip side, why is it so easy to believe everything the devil puts in our mind? Why do we rather quickly believe all the negative thinking the devil gives us? We don't go, that can't be true because it doesn't sound like God. I'm hanging on to good. Nope. As soon as the devil says, man, you have messed up, you're a failure, you go, yeah, I know I am. Why do we agree with him? God doesn't talk like that. We should know instantly that's not the voice of God. You know why we agree with him? Because it agrees with our heart and what we feel. It either agrees with the emotional breakdown we're having. Yeah, I feel like a failure, so this is true. Yeah, I just failed a test, so I'm a failure. And that's not proof of anything. It's just a test. Sometimes failure is good for us. We believe it because it agrees with what we feel. It agrees with our flesh. We believe it because it agrees with what we think already or what we see physically. So in other words, when it agrees with our flesh, we believe it. But we're supposed to live from our spirit,
right,
and believe what God says. We need to know what God's thinking, not what we're feeling. So that's a big clue. If you're having degrading, negative thoughts, they are not God.
Right.
If you did mess up, just fess up. You know,
right.
Confess it quickly, accept your forgiveness. God never wants us to wallow in guilt and shame.
Nope.
That is the devil. Guilt and shame is the devil.
Right.
Don't do it. Don't let him take your brain there.
Right.
And then there's Philippians 4:8 that says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So God is telling us this is his mind. This is the mind of Christ. This is the mind he wants you to have. So you have a good indicator. Negativity, depression, hopeless, failure, beat myself up. That's the devil's thoughts. Positive, refreshing, hopeful, good, pure thoughts. That's God's thoughts. That's how I identify which mind I'm listening to. Because both of them chatter in my brain. So if I know a truth, I can counter it. I can counter every lie by knowing a truth. So we need to get a grip on the truth. The weapons of our, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds are thought holds. Strongholds are your thought holds. What you think is what you're going to feel. What you think is what you're going to do. You get that thought right, and you'll act right, and you'll feel right. Casting down imaginations. Grab that negativity thought, call it imagination, and tear it out of your head. You're not living in my thoughts. You're a lie. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God,
right,
and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
There you go.
Don't allow those thoughts to linger in your head.
Amen.
Ever. If you want the mind of Christ, you have to seek it with faith. Just ask him what he thinks and then believe those thoughts when they come.
Amen.
It's a choice. It's a powerful choice, choosing to believe. When you don't feel it, when you don't see it, and when doubts and negativity are attacking, that is your faith to believe what's true.
Amen.
Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That word let means allow. Allow it. It's not like he's trying to hide from you. It's not like you're having to beg him to give you his thoughts.
No.
You have to allow his thoughts. Allow the mind of Christ. Allow this mind to be in you, to dwell in you, to stay in you. Hold on to that thought that came from God. You know, I'm going to repeat what I said a while ago. Choosing, repentance means that you're coming to God and you're choosing to agree with God. You want what he wants. His thoughts are so powerful. Can you imagine the impact of your life to literally believe every promise of Scripture and every personal thought that God gives you, making that your own personal truth? I want you to imagine that he sends the angel Gabriel down here to come into your life and to speak something to you. And he has done this through our thoughts. But imagine if he did this physically, if he physically walked into your life this morning and said, Harvey Hampton, hey, I'm Gabriel. God sent me down. I'm the messenger angel of God. And he came here and he told me to come to you and tell you, I'm asking you to give me the gift of waiting. And if you're going to do it, you're going to see something of God. Big, powerful. I mean, we're talking in the billions now. And it's going to just blow your mind what God's going to do. But you have to wait and wait and wait. Wait through the hard stuff. Wait through the long stuff. Wait through the days you feel all alone. Wait through the doubt and work. I want you to start a company. I want you to work like a common laboring person, not like a minister of Christ. Now, that's what God wants for you, so hold on to it. Now, if he physically flew in this room and sat down at your table and told you something like that, you'd never get over it, would you? But because God comes through our thoughts on purpose, because he wants us to have faith. He right. wants us to choose to believe. Right. He wants us to grow and hang on. And because of that, the devil comes and said, was it really God? Did he really say that? Do you see any proof of it in your life right now? Do you see any hope of it in your life right now? Do you even see God in your life right now? And he starts beating against you. But faith is believing what you don't see. Amen. It's the proof of what nobody else can see, but you've seen it. You've heard it. You thought it. God gave you that thought. That's your faith. Never let go of it. But it needs to become the goal of your life. Why you do the things you hate every day. Why you sit through the hard times. Because you know where you're going. And you never stop believing it. Amen. Every thought from God, you need to take it with that kind of faith. Amen. Ephesians 1, 8 and 9. Wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he's purposed in himself. I think every person in this room has already encountered God, come in contact with God in your thought life, where he has spoken to you through the written word, through your thoughts. God, you already know some things God has said, but maybe you're not hanging on to them. And he says there is wisdom and prudence. I love the word prudence. It means counsel that gives me an abundance, meaning overflow, more and more and more and more. When God tells you something, it's like a gift you get to start opening. It's like the gift that keeps on giving because it grows. You know when you get a hold of something that comes alive in you and you know this is for me, you go to the scripture and it's more, another scripture, another scripture, another scripture, another scripture. You keep finding more and more and more and more. God calls you to Africa, you go to Africa, what happens? You love it. You love the people. You know it's home for you. God didn't call you to Africa. You go to Africa. What happens? I want to go home. I'm miserable. You know when you know. And then years later, you're going, but it can't happen. Yes, it can, and it will. You're just in the testing years. You're just in the faith hanging on. When the devil comes to steal those words, you need to kick it out, every doubt, every fear, and you need to decide you're going to grip that word with all your fist of faith, and that's how you're going to live. Amen. Faith when it seems impossible. Faith when you don't feel like it. You have to exercise faith or it gets weak. How do you exercise that? How do you do it? You have to write it down, put it in front of your eyes. And every day you don't think it's real, read it to yourself again. Read it out loud. You know when God first promised us that house on 79th Street? I don't see one lick of hope about it right now. Glenn went over there because they don't like us. Glenn went over and offered to buy it. And they said, we're never going to sell that house. Oh, no, okay, maybe you can give it to us. You're going to sell it because I pray. There's not a week that goes by that I don't pray that those people change their mind and cooperate with God and sell us our house. We're going to get it. It's not as good as this house. But when God promised it, it was the best house we had ever lived in. And he said, one day you could buy a better house than this, but this is the house I chose for you. And when you own it, you're never going to move again. At that time, we moved about twice a year. That was a miracle saying, you know. We're going to have that house. But when God first gave us that promise, verse after verse after verse kept confirming it, just coming alive. I printed them and I framed them and I hung them on my wall. And I read them every day while I claimed my promise. If you need to do that, to hang on to your promise, do that. Print it. Frame it. I have notes all over the place. When I'm working on a current thing I need to get down in my spirit, say I own that house promise. I don't need to read it every day. Nobody can take it away from me. And you know what? What if I died and you go, well, you didn't get your house? Come find me in the millennial 1,000 years. That's probably where you'll find me, because I will get that house. But I think I'll get it in this life. I own it. Until you own your promise, you need to print it, and you need to hang it, and you need to read it. Index cards taped on your bathroom mirror, whatever it takes, do it. God told me one day that there's coming a day that I'm going to be preaching, and he's going to call me to call life back into the dry bones. I don't know what he meant fully, I could imagine. But I printed out every verse about calling life, about I studied it, I looked up all the verses, I imagined it. I pictured how first you got to get the bones up out of the dust, and then you got to get muscle on them, and then you got to get the nerve in them, and then you got to get the flesh on them, and then you got to breathe life in them. And I pictured preaching that, and I carried those cards around with me for 2 years, reading them over and over and over, so I'd be ready to do it when he tells me. I had to own it in my spirit. Whatever he has said to you, don't stop looking at it, don't stop praying it, never. But until you own it, you get it printed, and you put it before your eyes every day, and you look up scriptures to confirm it. Get a hold of it, because it will transform your life. You'll come alive again. You'll wake up again. You'll stop dragging through like your life is a hopeless mess and start living it with purpose again. That is getting hold of your faith. Ephesians 1, 10 and 11. All of that. So this verse starts with a that. I want to give you that hope. Do that because of this verse. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times. You're holding on with your faith every day. You're living by that truth so that when the fullness of time comes, he can gather together all things in Christ, both that are in heaven and on earth and in him. Where is he on earth? In you. In you. How can he gather you together if you're not ready for that day? In whom we have obtained an inheritance. We have an inheritance. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. I want you to think about that inheritance and that fullness of time day. Because if you don't file your claim, somebody's going to jump your claim. Your daddy's giving you a gold mine here. And he's telling you, there is coming a day you're going to walk into what I created you for, into the fullness of your purpose, into the explosion of everything that your life is really about. But you have to claim it by faith. Stake your claim by faith right now, because what you don't claim today, you won't walk into tomorrow, because there's a preparation period. There's a testing of your faith period. All things go through the testing of faith. If you don't hang on to your promise, if you don't prepare as though that's what you're living for, then all of a sudden this great move of God breaks out and somebody else took your stake because you didn't get ready for it. Get it today and hold on to it till tomorrow. Get it now and hold on to it until the fullness of time, or you'll just miss out. People do miss out. I hate that. But people miss out on what they're called to do, what they're created for. They miss out. One of the saddest things in my life was when God told me that he gave me the call of my sister, because she died in her 40s, late 40s. And she did not. She's not here. She's not here to claim her inheritance, because she didn't claim it and she didn't prepare for it. And she shortened her life. But still, God still wants that thing accomplished, so he gave it to me. And he came and told me that. You now have your sister's anointing. The things I wanted her to do, you will do. And that's very sad. I wish she was standing by me doing her own things. I miss her. We need mind renewal through repentance. God, I am repenting of the way I've been thinking. I'm repenting of the negativity of my daily life, the doubts and the fears and the insecurities and the inabilities and the things, or the pride, doing things my own power. I repent, God. I want to repent toward you. I want your mind. I want your mind and come in agreement with your mind for me. Ephesians 4, 17 through 23. I want you to take these verses home, so please write these down. I want you to take these home with you, and I want you to pray to own these verses for yourself. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. You know what vanity means? Emptiness, wasted, nothingness. That's what's in our fleshly mind. He said, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. Once you agree with these negative thoughts, you alienate yourself from the life in God that he wants to pump into you. I don't have that written. Read it. No, I was going to 21 through 23 now, so... Give me 19 through 20, see what I missed. I didn't print it.
Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be...
Hold on. That's why I didn't put those two verses in, because I don't think that's true of anybody in this room. I don't think you're living lasciviousness. I don't think that you've given up on God. I don't think you're living a life of wicked sin. I think you're just discouraged sometimes. I'm discouraged. I was discouraged this morning. I wasn't discouraged. I was just plain wiped out tired and didn't want to live. I was just too tired. And you know what? I'm not tired now. I almost could dance again. Almost. I mean, that was a sorry attempt at it for this body, but I tried. 21, if so be that you have heard him. Have you heard him? Has he called you? Has he spoken to you? Have you read anything in his word that you've claimed? And you've been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That putting off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do we be renewed? Repentance toward God. God, I need your mind. Amen. I need your thoughts. This is what God wants for you. Let it be what you want for him. And some goals this week. Just a couple more verses for you to take home. Goal number one, I want to bring all my thoughts into the captivity of Christ.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 10:5. God, I really want you to capture my thoughts and bring them in agreement with yours.
Amen.
The second one is to live by every word of God. Luke 4:4, and the one you had was
Matthew 4:4.
Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4, where Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Live. To live. It didn't say just believe his words and agree with them in your mind. It said live by those words. Make it the purpose of your life. Make it the reality of your life. Make it what you live for, the goal of your life. Take those couple of verses home and pray them and seek that your thoughts, you get a revival in your thoughts. Get the mind of Christ. And I don't care how tired you are, how hard your life is. Once your mind is in agreement with him, you can return to peace. You can return to hope. You can return to revival of your whole spirit. Jesus, we just ask you to just release an abundant anointing on your words as we read them this week and pray them this week. And Lord, every time we feel down, every time we're believing negative things, you said to think on things that are good and pure and right. Let us kick out those negative thoughts, not allow them. Because it's actually what it's doing. It's allowing Satan to own and control us. And we don't want to do that. Please help us to repent in our thinking. Thank you, Jesus.